We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Today, it's the backyard brawl. Michigan, Michigan State, we've reached that point of the schedule where we get a chance to start talking about some of these rivalry games, October 30, 2021. In East Lansing, we'll get a chance to sit down with my buddy, Jason Strayhorn, to talk about this matchup. Stay tuned, and we'll bring it all to you here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
As soon as you see it happen, normally your reaction is interception, sudden change, we're on the field. We kind of all stood there like, what just happened? What did he actually get his foot in? Was that an interception? And then we obviously celebrated, ran out on the field. But I was not far away.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. And just a quick update, as I always like to do at this part of the podcast. If you missed anything on MGO Blue Podcast, you can always go back, download anything you need. Some great interviews from assistant coaches, so a couple of players throughout the spring. Obviously, we've been going through Michigan's football schedule. Today brings us to Michigan State. But yesterday, Brian Bush was able to sit down on Defend the Block with sophomore-to-be Jace Howard. And so if you missed it, make sure you go back, download. It's a great listen, and I'm excited for you to hear it. And the guy that I just mentioned, not Jace Howard, but Brian Bush, is here to join me, as he always does. Mr. Bush, how are you?
I'm great. What was awesome was when I asked him about some of his childhood memories. And, you know, you'll call, you know, maybe close family, friends, an aunt or an uncle. And he said, yeah, with Uncle LeBron and Uncle D. Wade. And it's just like, wow. I mean, that's crazy.
It is. That is crazy. You just imagine the basketball that he's been able to see, you know, and I'm not talking about games. I'm talking about at practice, or just, you know, those guys have something that they're doing pickup. That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it was fun to talk with him. And you know, I tried to steer the conversation. I still asked him about the relationship with his dad, with the head coach, but I wanted to ask him about the other members of his family and him more, because it's such an easy comparison and talking point. Oh, it's the coach's son. Let's talk about that. But, I mean, he came here for a reason, and it wasn't just to hang out with dad for 4 years. It was to play and to play at a high level. So, really good kid. He's been working his tail off. It was basically between workouts. He was coming from a workout, and he was going to another one when we caught up. So, I do hope people will enjoy it.
Good deal. And just a quick, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here, but we're going to continue in the trenches because we're doing this schedule throughout the course of the summer, leading us right up to fall camp. Are you going to be able to continue the Defend the Block?
Yeah, that's the plan, and we're hopeful here in the coming weeks to introduce fans to some of the new players, the incoming freshmen, also hoping to get any transfers. There's one out there that we can't quite mention at this point, but all signs point to him being a part of the program as well. But yeah, we'll introduce fans to the new players, both in the men's and the women's programs. We won't go through every game of the Michigan basketball schedule and preview it, but as I'm sure you've heard, with Seton Hall at North Carolina, of course, the game with Kentucky here in Ann Arbor that's coming up, we'll try to preview some of those bigger games too. But yeah, defend the block, humming right along. Really, the only one, John, as you know, that's taking a little bit of a break is Conquering Heroes because, well, there are no sports going on right now. The College World Series ended on Wednesday, but yeah, we're going to keep humming along. Why not? There's plenty of stuff to talk about.
There is. I just wanted to make sure, make our listeners aware that, hey, the basketball news is coming at you, football news is coming at you, and as soon as we have anything going on with fall sports, we're going to fire the Conquering Heroes back up and get that humming along as well. How about some 7 from 77?
Yeah, John, let's do it. And we will talk plenty of Michigan State this week, but first, we're releasing this on Thursday, July 1. Today's the day. Name, image, likeness has arrived. I don't know about you. I feel like we kind of know some of the things that can happen, and I feel like some of it's still being developed, but student athletes can be compensated for their name, image, and likeness thanks to either an NIL law or executive order in their state or with the NCAA's kind of interim NIL policy. Michigan, the state of Michigan has a law that will come into effect in December of 2022, but that NCAA waiver allows student athletes in the state to participate now. John, let's talk broad here. What are your observations on what's been an interesting, and let's face it, at times a pretty chaotic journey to July 1 in NIL?
Yeah, it's been crazy, and this has been something that's been talked about for quite honestly, decades getting to this point. As we know, the NCAA doesn't move quickly on anything, and if their hand isn't forced, they're not going to make a move. But the different states have gotten involved for the athletes on the athletes' behalf. We're going to see the federal government do something, I'm sure, soon as well. Obviously, now the NCAA is felt the pressure and has put in something in the interim. So it's been a long process to get to this point, and I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a huge benefit to the student athlete, and it's going to be a benefit, not everybody is going to see the same benefit, but across the student athlete body, we're going to see, because of social media and the presence that a lot of these student athletes have, you're going to see some kids be able to, profit off of just the social media side of things. In the community, they'll be able to profit, being able to coach camps and use their name in regards to that. So there's a lot of things I think that should have been done much sooner, but they'll have that ability now.
Yeah, I mean, the tentacles go in a lot of different directions with this. And number 2 on our 7 from 77, as we talked about, I don't know if we truly and fully grasp what this will mean in the coming months and years. I do feel like today, July 1, 2021, will be looked at kind of a landmark day in college sports down the road. So how does this change things? And in particular, what is Michigan and Michigan football doing, and what have they done to prepare for this moment?
Well, what they're doing right now is making sure that they understand every aspect of the interim rule, because that's what everybody in the state of Michigan will be operating under, because as you mentioned, the law won't go into effect until a year and a half from now. So that's where they're going to be operating. They want to make sure that they understand every aspect of that so that they don't step out of bounds somewhere, that they don't do something that would, be inappropriate in regards to what they're allowed to do. So compliance will be a huge part of this. And Michigan, this is what I know, and we know of Jim Harbaugh, they are going to take advantage of every opportunity within the rules to give their students and their student athletes everything possible. And we talked about the Supreme Court ruling last week in regards to computers and things for education. The university and the athletic department will not be involved in this. They can't set things up for the student athletes, but there's going to have to be, and I haven't been able to read the entire interim rule, because that's one thing that the NCAA does very well as well, and that is use printer paper and use maximum amount of space. So as we continue to pore over this information, you've got to find out what you can do, what you can't do, and then is there going to be some type of reporting process that the student-athletes have to go through that, hey, I have this deal, making sure the athletic department checks it out, it's okay. All of those things are still a little bit fuzzy to me, and we're just going to have to figure it out as we go.
Yeah, and Coach Harbaugh has been pretty progressive, pretty ahead of the curve on a lot of these types of issues. He was talking about a 16-team playoff for a little while. He was ahead of the curve on one-time automatic, no-sit-out transfers. So I feel pretty good about where Michigan football can be on this, while still understanding this. I mean, it's a pretty unique time. Number three, also, July normally means predictions really start to come around for college football. Phil Steele's magazine is out. He pegs the Wolverines as fourth in the Big Ten East. Hopefully we can get him on the show at some point in the lead up to the season. Pro Football Focus has Michigan as a 7-win team. I'm just curious from your standpoint, how did you handle predictions, especially in years when externally they weren't all that high, whether it was college or in the NFL? And how do you hope Michigan takes in, if at all, any of these types of prognostications?
Well, you take everything with a grain of salt. As a player, if you're favored to win it all, then you have to take that as motivation that you have to live up to that. That's the standard that's been set. That's the expectation of your team, and you've got to live up to that. If the expectation is 6 wins, 7 wins, something less than what you feel you can do, then you use that as motivation to say, hey, we get no respect. I mean, you can use motivation and that those preseason, you know, prognostications any way that you want. But as a player, you don't necessarily read into it other than, hey, I've got to live up to this, or, hey, this pisses me off, and I'm going to work even a little bit harder to make sure that they know at the end of the season they were 100% wrong.
Number four, let's talk Michigan State. We've got a great conversation coming up with Jason Strayhorn, and you asked him at the end, spoiler alert, about his favorite memory of playing against Michigan. So I'll flip it to you. We put that earlier in the show. We put that in the more important part of the show, of the Michigan moment against Michigan State. But what is that memory that stands out to you in a rivalry that you, while you were at Michigan, went 4-1 in?
I mean, there's so many different memories that you think back to those big games, whether it's Michigan State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, that you have. And obviously the Michigan State one for me, having grown up in the state of Michigan, getting an opportunity to play at Michigan is, it's very special to me. And I remember the as everybody does, the 97 game and the drive right before half. And I remember Chris Howard breaking away and running down the middle of the field. And I can't remember the linebacker's name. Ike Reese, I think, was the linebacker that caught him from behind, tried to, you know, punch the ball out. Chris Howard bobbled it a little bit, but then he, you know, gathered it in, fell on it. And we were able to take that, you know, drive down. And then obviously right before we got into the end zone, there was a little bit of a skirmish. There's some, you know, discrepancies as to what may have happened in a pile. But I do know that Demetrius Underwood was flagged for a personal foul. He did hit me in the face mask. What drew that penalty, I have absolutely no idea. But that end of the drive really set us up going into halftime, gave us some momentum. We ended up obviously getting a touchdown out of it. And then everybody remembers the catch by Charles Woodson. I mean, it is, other than maybe Desmond Howard's catch and maybe another, you know, one or two highlights from Charles, maybe the most iconic moment over the past 30 years. I used to say, you know, 15 or 20 years, but I'm going to extend that 30 years because the clock keeps ticking. And I just remember looking down the sideline and it just in wonderment of what he was able to do, to be able to catch the ball, to be able to still get a foot in bounds. It just was, it was unbelievable. And it's etched in my mind forever.
I'm glad you saw it live, because sometimes you wouldn't see that. You might be meeting with your position coach or whatever. Where were you on the sideline in relation to that?
I was maybe 30, 40 yards just down the sidelines, right in front of where the offensive line does meet. And I had a chance to, you know, we were done, you know, conversing on the sidelines, and I was walking up, and just it, that's when it happened. And obviously, you know, as soon as you see it happen, normally your reaction is interception, sudden change, we're on the field. We kind of all stood there like, what just happened? What did he actually get his foot in? Was that an interception? And then we obviously celebrated, ran out on the field. But I was not far away.
That's one thing. Somebody like me who never played any sports at a high level, it's easy to be wowed in sports. But there's something special when you, a captain, a future, you know, decade plus NFL player, when you're wowed by somebody, when players at that level are wowed by a play, like, that's the measurement, isn't it?
It is. And Charles did that on a regular basis. So that just shows you how special that one play was. We saw him do special things every day at practice. And then to come out in a game and have a moment like that, in a game like that, you know, if it had happened against, you know, just about anybody else, it would be a highlight. It would be special. But having it happen in Spartan Stadium against a rival was even more so.
Number 5 on our 7 from 77. Not an easy transition from a great moment in this rivalry to a tough one. It felt like last year the Michigan State loss was the beginning of the end of how things really came crumbling down. Just what do you think that loss did now that we've had so much time to look back on what was the 2020 season? And just how vital is it to quickly flip that script and return the favor in East Lansing this year?
It's imperative. I mean, this year, it's a must-win game. And you look at it and you think, okay, this is where Michigan State is. You know, second year of a head coach. They've had, you know, 47 transfers, new names, transfers and freshmen come in. And, you know, this is going to be an opportunity for Michigan, should be an opportunity for Michigan to reset the bar and say, this is what is supposed to happen in the game. All of the players, you can make all the excuses in the world. Oh, there was a pandemic. We had to do testing. So what? So did the other team. So did Michigan State. And this is a matter of a response. There was no response in that game. This is the opportunity to say, hey, we got hit in the mouth. All right, we took it on the chin. We understand that we have to live with this for an entire year. You let that fester. You let that grow a little bit. You let it swell up. And then all of a sudden, when you take the field as a Wolverine, you come out with everything, both barrels burning, you're just filled with fury, because that's what this game, what this rivalry is about. And you better match the intensity that I know you're going to see on the other sideline.
Number 6, you mentioned the soon-to-be second-year head coach, Mel Tucker. Just your impressions, because, I mean, in terms of storyline, in terms of journey in his coaching career at Michigan State, I mean, he took a lot of flack for what happened in departing at Colorado, and then a month later it's the pandemic, and then you have the win over Michigan. They beat Northwestern, and they lost all their other games. Just a really unique setup. So what's your impressions of him and of what's going on up in East Lansing?
He's no nonsense. He's tough, exactly what you would expect after living with, you know, Mark D'Antonio for more than a decade. That's what that program is. They went out and they got a guy that mirrors that. He's going to be his own man. Don't think that he's just a mirror image of Mark D'Antonio, but he's been in East Lansing before. He knows what it means to play, you know, to be a Spartan, to wear the green and white. It's tough. It's going to be physical. They're going to be big. They're going to be strong. And as you're going to hear from Jason Strayhorn, they're going to be fast on the edges. So it's, but again, you don't hear a lot from Mel Tucker, but when you do, you better pay attention, because his words do mean something.
Lastly, you mentioned Jason Strayhorn. You guys played around the same time. A couple of offensive linemen chopping it up. It's a really good conversation. It's a thorough breakdown of the Spartans. And it's always good to know that opponent, even if it is in early July. What were your biggest takeaways from this, and what do you remember about Jason the player?
You know, Jason and I have known each other. We knew each other better after we were done at Michigan State. When you're a college kid, right, the rivalry is bigger than life. You're not supposed to talk to those guys. You're not supposed to socialize with those guys. You're not supposed to do anything other than, you know, continue to grow the hate. When you leave, you understand that they're human beings as well. And, you know, for that game, for that week, when you talk about this game, none of that hate goes away. And it's okay to say that word. But, you know, you can be friends. You can be, you know, football players and talk football. And Jason's got a great eye for the game, as most offensive linemen do. But he does a great job of taking us into Michigan State's locker room and talking about all of the new names. Because this year, I know it's the case at Michigan, it's even more so at Michigan State, the transfer portal, immediate eligibility, it has completely flipped that roster. And it was a lot of fun to have a conversation and just chop it up as two former offensive linemen and, you know what, not former, still offensive linemen, talking some football.
Yeah, that mentality's got to stay the same. All right, before we get there, real quick bacon fact for you. It is Independence Day weekend coming up, and John, there is a fireworks supply company called Sky Bacon Fireworks, and their tagline, fireworks that sizzle. Love it.
That's because there's no sweeter sound. There's no better taste than that sizzle that you hear in your cast iron pan as you fry up that bacon. Every once in a while, you get a little treat that comes out. So I may have to find some of those for my 4th of July celebration because we like some sizzle in the Jansen house. Talk about some sizzle. Jason Strayhorn of the Spartan Radio Network has joined me today. I enjoyed the conversation. We yucked it up a little bit. We got serious. We had some fun. So please enjoy the interview and the conversation that I had with Mr. Strayhorn.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm now joined by my fellow football brethren, and he is on the other side of the state, and that is Michigan State. I'm on one side of the fence, he's on the other, but he is kind enough to join us here on In the Trenches today, and that is my buddy Jason Strayhorn. You can hear him on the Spartan Radio Network game days all fall, as well as he's got a new podcast coming out from Woodward Sports. I'm excited to hear that's going to come out at the end of July, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But Jason, thanks for joining us, and how excited are you for this football season? Fans, it should be as normal as possible.
Oh, man, I can't wait for it. Thanks for having me on here, John. This is an exciting time. When you look back at last year's season with empty stadiums and very strange outcomes, you know, not knowing what the future may hold. This is a return to normalcy is much warranted, and we're anxious for it, to say the least. So very excited about this season coming up.
Well, hopefully football Saturdays will be normal, but this off season, even though the pandemic feels like it's winding down, there's still some things that we've, you know, fans and players and programs, protocols, all that stuff that they're going through. But the one change that I think has really affected both of our programs is instant eligibility and the transfer portal. How hard has it been for you to keep an eye on the rosters, let alone not just in the Big Ten, but in your own program? It's hard to do.
It's really hard to do. Like, getting ready, preparing for interviews and talking about the season is a lot more difficult because of this. Just as you said, the roster's continually changing. 47 new faces will be on the roster come fall camp for Michigan State. And typically, you know, you may see 15 to 20 new faces. So this is a lot. So with the transfer portal and some different rules that are relaxed because of COVID and super seniors coming, this is something we've never seen before, but it doesn't look like it's going to be slowing down anytime soon.
No, it doesn't. And when you look at this roster, and you mentioned it, 47 new names and faces. Where has been the biggest impact for this Michigan State roster?
I would say the biggest impact would be the running back acquisition. Kenneth Walker out of Wake Forest, who came here as a very highly touted guy from Wake Forest. But now, I mean, he's just in the spring, you could see the different level of burst and strength, and he's proven it week in and week out in the weight room. He's earned the respect of a team in short order, and you can see why. He's just a power plug of a guy, a workhorse. You know, Mel Tucker is not a guy who's going to run a guy like 50 times a game because he wants to leave meat on the bone for the NFL. I think he's learned that from his buddy Nick Saban that he coached under. So that's one of the recruiting tools as well. So there's going to be a little bit of running back by committee, but Kenneth Walker definitely is the guy.
And this Michigan State program, one that obviously I'm very familiar with and follow it intently because of the matchup between Michigan and Michigan State, the in-state rivalry, but it's always been a physical matchup. And that's one thing I know that Mark D'Antonio, when he was the head coach, really thrived on and preached to his guys. Mel Tucker, we did get a little taste of him last year. Unfortunately, in Ann Arbor, we got too big a taste. But what do you know now that he's been the head man for over a year? You've seen one season, albeit, you know, an incomplete season. What's your take on Mel Tucker and that you've had a chance to get to know him and see his style of coaching?
You know, it's interesting that you say that because Mel Tucker was a graduate assistant in my last year at Michigan State. I remember him coming in the spring and watching him feel his way around. We would see him sometimes, like, look like he had just woken up when we get into the football building, the Duffy Daugherty building. And we're like, Mel, did you sleep here? And he's like, yeah, I have to sleep here sometimes. So he was a workhorse back then, but you can see how he's progressed by learning under guys like Nick Saban, spending 10 years in NFL, coaching. He was an interim head coach for Jacksonville Jaguars for a while. He has been a head coach, obviously, at Colorado now and then moving over to Michigan State. And his philosophy, where you see big linemen, I mean, he's brought in, you know, you don't see anybody under 6'5 or 315. Everyone is, that's like a bare minimum now for the offensive linemen that they're looking for. And they're all physical. And he just says you can't have enough big guys like that on your team. And then he's recruiting speed on the skill player side. He's looking for those guys that are long, that can run like the wind. So you're getting a little bit more of that SEC flavor of recruiting, the type of athlete that he's targeting, because he's very open and says, hey, I can't win with bad athletes. I can't. So he's trying to find those guys who are difference makers up front and in the skill positions to make get some more W's in that win column, some wins. So Mel Tucker's a definitely good guy.
Has he talked about how he minds the transfer portal? Like, there's so many players in it, and we mentioned this before off air before we came on, that it's like a waterfall, you know, just going into the portal, and it feels like there's a trickle coming out of it. There's a log jam of players. Has he described to you, or can you see it in his actions and how he's done it in regards to how you find and search that portal to find the exact athlete and mentality that you're looking for?
From when he's talked about this, he said that there's dedicated staff that are watching the portal all day, 24 hours a day. And from that, when there's a new player in the portal, they're looking at film. If somebody passes the eye test, or, you know, there's any, you know, certain level of schools, recruits that they may or may not have seen in the past that signed with someone else, now they hit the portal, they start doing the homework. They look at the film and they do a deep dive into the background as to why is this kid in the portal? Because that's something that no one sees in the portal. Like, why? Is it just, I'm tired of the school, or are we dismissed for some kind of a team rule violation or some kind of an academic situation? So they do their homework, and if they pass all those checks, get, you know, all those boxes get checked, they're on the phone. They're reaching out to the guy. So that's how fast and furious it is. You see some of these guys only last in the portal maybe a week, and they're getting offers from everywhere, and they then make a decision.
Well, we've seen it across college football. We saw it with, you know, a transfer quarterback from Nebraska go to Louisville and then transfer out and go somewhere else, and they only spend they get a cup of coffee. So I'm a little bit reserved when I bring up names, and I hope that you're gentle in correcting me if one of these guys only had a cup of coffee in East Lansing. But you mentioned the running back room, and you already mentioned transfer Kenneth Walker. And that it is going to be running back by committee. But one of the things that seems to have plagued Michigan State over the past 2-3 years is injuries up front. Now, I know as of publication, like 2 days ago, it seemed like Jarrett Horst was a transfer coming in from Arkansas State to help provide depth at that line position. What can you tell us about him, as well as, you know, what this offensive line will look like heading into the 2021 season?
I'll tell you what, Jarrett Horst, the guy wearing number 79, which I love that number. He's the guy who came in there and he just brought nasty to the team. He really did. He got, he's really raised the level of physical tenacity in that offensive line room, and he did it immediately. It got so bad in the spring, I'm told that the defensive line wanted to fight the guy. You know how that gets. Sometimes they want to, you know, defensive line, they're maybe not the most civilized creatures on the planet sometimes, and they want to gang up and try to attack guys in the locker room. But it was, which is a good thing as an offensive lineman. We like, oh, man, so he's kicking some guys off. He's getting under their skin because he's playing. Like, the whistle to him is kind of a suggestion, which we like that. We like that. So you want to coach him up to be a little bit more, you know, hey, you don't want to be illegal. Don't get penalties. But definitely the kind of player that we want in East Lansing. And he just oozes Big Ten offensive lineman.
It's a little worrisome for me to hear that, especially when you describe the offensive line in terms of, you know, Mel Tucker's philosophy. Hey, 6'5", 315 across the board. You bring in a nasty attitude like that, and you could see things turn around quickly, especially when you have speed at that wide receiver position. Now, we saw Jaden Reed and Jalen Naylor have, you know, a good game in the Big House last year. What can you tell us about that wide receiver position and any additions to those two guys?
You know, those are the two guys right there. Jaden Reed is the number one receiver. They love him. I mean, this guy can really stretch the field and make big plays. Ricky White, who has a huge game against Michigan on the road, is a guy that needs to get healthy and more consistent. They like him as well. Jalen Naylor, speedster. He just, you know, he's a guy that will just run away from pretty much everybody. Trey Mosley is a guy that you want to pay attention to. He's out of West Bloomfield High, redshirt sophomore, but has really come into his own. Number 17, 6'2", 190 pounds, and he can run a sub 4.4, 40, as I'm told. Trey Mosley's a guy that you want to pay attention to in that wide receiver room for Michigan State. And obviously, you know, with the offensive line being able to protect, run the ball, which we haven't been able to do well in the last 3 years, John. Now we got to be able to protect that quarterback. And I know we're going to talk about them here in a minute.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's a you could tell you're a radio pro because you transitioned right into my next question. In Rocky Lombardi is no longer there. We'll have faced him earlier in the season because he's over at NIU. But Peyton Thorne, I know you've got some transfers. What came out of spring, and was there a definite number one quarterback coming out of spring?
Coming out of spring, it was pretty clear Peyton Thorne is the front runner heading into fall camp. The transfer, Anthony Russo, who came over from,
Temple.
Temple. Sorry about that. Yeah, so he comes over from Temple, but he's had so many coaches, so many new offensive coordinators that I think it's a little bit, he's having to catch up with the playbook. He's not the athlete that Thorne is. He's a bigger guy, 6'4", 245 pounds. He's got a decent arm, but he's not the mobile guy that people are looking for in today's offensive scheme. I think that he has to cut down on his interceptions and get his plays down in order to have a good camp to push Thorne. But right now, Peyton Thorne, he seemed to really have a great command of the offense. The guys trust him. You can see the way his huddle presence is. You know how important that is as an offensive line, being in that huddle and having a quarterback that is confident. It sets the tone for the whole game. So this is the kind of guy right now that I think is the guy to beat in fall camp. So we'll see how that goes. But I look, if we had to play against Northwestern today, Peyton Thorne will be that guy.
And just looking at it as a you know, former football player, and now you see how the way the college game has evolved. Do you ever think we'll see a true pocket passer be, you know, very successful again? Because it seems like most teams are looking for that dual threat quarterback. They're looking for the guy that can extend the play, and we're seeing it trickle up to the NFL as well.
Yeah, I think that it's really here to stay. You see the quarterbacks are getting faster. They're getting smaller in some cases because the linebackers and the defensive backs have got, I mean, they can run like the wind. And no more of those, you know, the Pat Fitzgerald linebackers, the big guys, 6'4", 6'5", 255 pounds. These guys can run. I mean, some of these linebackers are running 4.340s, some sub-4.340s. So they can defend the pass and run sideline to sideline. Those guys are incredibly difficult to block and incredibly difficult to account for in the passing game. So in order to counter that, you need a quarterback that once those guys turn their backs and man coverage, that can pick up that first down on third and medium or short with his legs. Traditional pocket passers like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, those guys can sometimes struggle to get to the first down marker when you have linebackers that are flying around like they do in today's game. So I think these guys are mobile guys are here to stay.
Jason Strayhorn has joined us today on In the Trenches from the Spartan Radio Network. Also has a new podcast coming out at the end of July, yet to be named, but it will be coming from Woodward Sports. Looking forward to hearing that. As you can hear, I mean, you get a chance to talk to an offensive lineman, you're going to get good stuff, and you're always going to get the way it is. We don't like to sugarcoat things, even if it's for our own university. And Jason, that's one thing I've always enjoyed listening to you. You're very straightforward and honest, and you do a great job of leading me into the next topic, because you just mentioned those linebackers. You took me to the quarterback. Now you're taking me to the other side of the ball. And Michigan State has lost one key player at every level of defense. Naquan Jones up front, Antoine Simmons at the linebacker position, and then Shakur Brown on the back end. What does Michigan State do? We've seen so many really good linebackers fill that role. Who is the next name to come in after Antoine Simmons?
That is to be determined, to be honest with you. Antoine Simmons was such a good player, played at such a high level, that's a guy that you just don't just say, hey, this guy's going to replace him. Chase Klein, the big guy, 6'4", 235. He can run. He can hit. He's a pretty decent athlete. I don't know if he's a 4'5 type of player that can run like that. We've got some new guys, from the portal that are in, a former four-star out of Minnesota, who we have yet to see on the field. Noah Harvey, the guy who's played a lot at the inside linebacker position, another big guy, 6'4", 235, in that old style. But this is one of those positions of concern for us going into the fall camp to see where guys will be. So that is an area that, you know, I would say the linebackers and the defensive line is an area where Michigan State needs to get better and in a hurry to be able to compete at a high level, because those may be the areas of weakness going forward for Michigan State in 2021.
Well, that D-line position, you've got two, I think, at least experienced defensive ends in Drew Beasley and Jacob Panishuk. And I know that we're in that era where we, you know, you have the super senior, the six-year senior, and maybe it's because his brother was there as well, but it seems like Jacob Panishuk has been in East Lansing for about 10 years.
The Panishuk, yes, the brother. He's definitely a tough guy, a very good player. He does everything the coaches ask of him in order to be a better defensive end and learn. He's a student of the game. He really works his moves. He's just a little bit limited physically when it comes to the beating that you take in that Big Ten schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, he comes off the field for plays because he's trying to do the best he can. 250 pounds, you know, at best at times, but just a hard-nosed player. As you said, you know, Drew Beasley, another guy, former walk-on, earned a scholarship, and is a very technically sound guy. But just not one of those guys that's going to just take over a game. You know, like we're talking about, you know, guys like, who's the guy at Ohio State, the number one pick a couple of years ago.
Oh, Chase.
Chase Young. You know, we want some of those kind of players, at least close to it, in order to feel like real comfortable. But these guys are serviceable players. And the depth is that worries me on the defensive line. Naquan Jones leaving early, now playing with the Tennessee Titans as an undrafted free agent, I think could have been better served coming back another year or provided more depth. But a Hunt is a player that Jalen Hunt, 99, 320 pounder out of Belleville. He's a dog in the middle, 6'4". He can run. He's tough. He's stout. But, you know, he hasn't played a lot yet. So this is going to be a breakout year for him. I think you're going to see a little bit from Deshaun Mallory, a guy who's a 6'2", 300-pounder that's just ridiculously strong in the weight room. I'm hearing that he's power cleaning, you know, 400 pounds plus on a hang clean. So this is a powerful guy. But, you know, those are the guys who are going to be playing a lot. But it's the depth, again, that concerns me.
God, it's some of the weight that these guys are throwing around these days. It just, it's so amazing. And I know that, hey, we worked out and we did all the things we were asked at that time, but with nutrition, with science, in terms of rest and just training techniques, does it ever amaze you when you see some of that weight getting moved around?
Yeah, it really does. It when I've seen videos of, got Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa,
yes.
You know, was like 465, 485 for three on a hang clean.
Right.
I said, come on. Yes. What is that? That's superhuman. And it's not, this isn't one of those steroid guys either. I mean, he's a regular body guy that's just cock strong, man. And, you know, can you imagine what his punch is like coming off?
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. So it's just incredible. The strength and conditioning and the nutrition. All the schools now have these dietitians that are on staff. And, you know, the money that they pour into the nutrition is important, but amazing nonetheless. Nothing like the training tables we had back in the 90s.
That's right. Yeah, that had all of the essentials. Right, you had your steak, and then you'd make sure that you never missed dessert.
That's right. Steak and dessert.
I don't think dessert is allowed anymore.
No, not at all. Just shakes. Protein shakes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Somebody asked me, hey, you know, do you think you could have done that 485, you know, pound clean when you were playing? I said, only if you wanted to see my spine laying on the ground. God.
I wouldn't even attempt it.
Yeah, exactly. I'd look at it and be like, yeah, I'm good. Finishing out the defense, as I mentioned, Shakur Brown,
yeah,
no longer in East Lansing. The back end, it's we've heard all of the you know, and we've seen it, the no-fly zone, the way that the secondary, the tradition of the secondary in East Lansing is extremely good. What will this secondary look like?
You know, I think, you know, I saw Harlan Barnett a few weeks ago, and he had a huge grin on his face. Now, he's a former defensive coordinator. He played defensive back in Michigan State and in the NFL for about 8 to 10 years. And he's one of the guys that's behind the no-fly zone. He's like, wait till you see this year's secondary. Like, yeah, I haven't heard that out of him in a long time. But Michael Dowell's a guy, a safety, redshirt junior, with two twin brothers that played before him, that's really coming into his own at the safety position. You've got guys like Kalen Gervin, who can just flat out play the corner position, who's very, very good with his hips and hand and coverage skills. And then Darius Snow is another safety guy that kind of he's got the pedigree. He's a Snow. He's Eric Snow, the basketball player's son, mm-hmm. Percy Snow's nephew. So he's got the bloodline. He's a guy that came in as a undersized backer. They're moving him. He's at the safety position, and you know they want to get him on the field at some point because he can run and he can hit. So he's a guy that could be added in that secondary that can turn some heads. So they're very excited about what this year's back end. I think that's going to be a strength of the defense for Michigan State.
And I'm talking to Jason Strayhorn of the Spartan Radio Network. I really appreciate your time. I've just got two more questions for you. One is, when you look at this team, you obviously had a chance to see them in the spring. You mentioned the 47 new faces and new names. What are your realistic expectations? And maybe more easily answered is, what do you expect to see from the 2021 version of the Michigan State Spartans?
You know, I think that this team, obviously this is a rebuilding program right now, but it's accelerated through the transfer portal and all the new signees that have come to Michigan State. I think that being bowl eligible is the bar. You know, getting to that 6-win mark is the bar. When you look at the schedule, though, if they can put everything together, I mean, you can get as high as 9, maybe 10 wins, you know, if things go great. But I don't anticipate all that when you have so many new faces. If that does happen, I think that would be a coaching feat that we haven't seen in a long time either at Michigan State and East Lansing. So, you know, there's some games right away. There is no warm-up. You go right into the Big Ten season on the road against Northwestern, which has been an Achilles heel for Michigan State for a while, although they've had success over in Evanston in the past. But that is, you know, all the guys have to figure this out pretty quick. It's Friday night, 9 o'clock kickoff on the road. And so that will give you a good barometer as to where Michigan State will land. Obviously, after that, you have Youngstown State at home. And then you have to go down to Miami in that heat in mid-September at noon, high noon. So you get to those three games, you're going to be able to tell what you have. You think those offensive lines are going to have some water, some cool zones, and maybe some IVs at the halftime to get through that game.
Yeah, you're going to have a whole bunch of guys starting at 3:15, ending the game at about 2:95.
Oh, yeah. You remember those days? You weigh in on Saturday or Sunday, and you're completely like 20 pounds lighter than you were the day before.
I could use one of those days now.
Well, all we had to do was walk around, follow the guys at practice, and that will happen for me and you right now.
Yes.
Get that lemonade out of our hands, get out of the shade.
Just keep the oxygen tank really close. When you look at this schedule, and you already mentioned the start, which I think is there's pros and cons to starting with that Big Ten game, but as a program, it's a tough start. As a player, you look at it and you get you excited to start the season. And then mid-season, obviously, you know, Michigan will be coming to East Lansing this year, October 30, Halloween weekend. And I asked this question with great trepidation. Share your finest memory in a Spartan uniform against Michigan.
In a Spartan uniform against Michigan. So myself personally, I would say I wasn't in this game, but I watched the 95 game. I was on the sidelines for this one where it was a young Charles Woodson against Derek Mason, who was coming into his own, a Big Ten leader in the kick returning, and he was a receiver, and they were matched up. It was like third and forever on a or maybe it was fourth down. It was crazy. And Tony Banks drops back, throws the ball, and Charles went up and barely tipped the ball, and it went over his head, and it landed in Derek Mason's hands while he was like laying on the field after he tipped it. Now, we end up winning that ball game in a deep pass to Nigeria Carter in the northeast end zone, which is like the same place where the little Giants play went back with the Notre Dame win. Fast forward 2 years later, we're back in East Lansing. I'm on the field. There's another pass. We're just doing a little rollout to the right. Todd Schultz is just like, hey, I'm just going to throw this ball into the stands, as you know, all offensive coordinators say, just throw it in the stands, you know. When there's nothing, everybody's covered. And I see a more mature Charles Woodson measuring, like looking at the sideline, looking at the ball. And I'm like, why is he even thinking about this? He jumps, like it seems like he jumped through the stadium. I mean, he was so high, probably 12 feet, grabs it, one hands it, lands with one. I mean, he was definitely in bounds. I hate to admit it, but he was in bounds, comes down with the crazy interception and on to the Heisman Trophy. In the Hall of Fame now. So those are, you know, the best and worst of times as a player against Michigan for me personally.
I really appreciate your professionalism in sharing both of those because that 95 matchup that you're talking about with Tony Banks, Nigeia Carter, that was 95. That was my first time on the field, and yeah. I was absolutely heartbroken when that game was over. And I remember it just like that was the old turf in that stadium, and it started to get cold. I think it rained a little bit, and it was like little bitty razor blades when you would fall on that turf. It cut the hell out of you. And then to end that game the way it did, gosh, it was another great classic matchup between these two. And I'm hoping that October 30, we get another one of those great matchups, October matchups that we have become the love, you and I both. And I look forward to seeing you. And I know I'll get a chance to talk to you before that. But thank you so much for joining us on In the Trenches today.
Absolutely. Love it. Anytime. Thanks for having me, John.
Jason Strayhorn, Spartan Radio Network. Make sure you pay attention to him online because he does have a new podcast coming out at the end of July, as yet to be named, but it's coming from Woodward Sports. Looking forward to hearing from it, from you on that as well.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate it, man.
Well, I want to thank Jason for, you know, giving his time and talking about this game, talking about this rivalry and the roster there in East Lansing. It's going to be an interesting year for a lot of schools. And I think in the Big Ten, one of the biggest question marks and one of the biggest intrigue is what the Michigan State Spartans are going to be. You heard it from Jason. I mentioned it, you know, in my preamble leading up to it. 47 new faces and names. That is unbelievable. On a roster that's going to be somewhere around 110, 115 players, that's unbelievable turnover. So when they play Northwestern, that's going to be the first peak that we have. And then throughout the season, obviously, we're all going to be keeping an eye on those Spartans. And as you always should, make sure you know where every Spartan is. I want to say thanks to Brian Bush for again putting this together and all of the work that he has done throughout this school year, as well as what he continues to do throughout the summer in getting Defend the Block on. If you missed that, sophomore to be Jace Howard had a great conversation with Brian Bush. If you missed anything here, make sure you go back, you take a listen, subscribe, like in the comments section. Make sure you leave us, if you want to leave us some questions, we can get to those this summer as well. Would love to answer some of your questions. But make sure you stay tuned in here for all your Michigan football news on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. M Go Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.